我想大家知道我们下个周末啊，这个要来的周末会有什么事情？
I think most of you would be aware that there's important events coming up next weekend.
有人不知道的吗？
There's anyone who does not know?
我们的校园营会啊，很快就要开始了。
The Southern California campus evangelistic camp will be held next weekend.
我想呢，从今天的礼拜天开始，我想邀请大家每天为这个福音营来祷告。
I want to encourage you starting from today to pray every day for this camp.
有谁不愿意的吗？
I'm asking is anybody who does not want to pray?
很好，我们全场都答应了。
So you are gave agreement in silence.
Yeah, 我希望大家能够把这个福音的工作放到我们的心里。
I want you really you know, it's deep in your heart. There's a spot for this gospel ministry.
能够为这些校园的事工能够来恳切的祷告。
So you can pray earnestly for the campus ministry.
我在代祷信里面呢，我发给这个，因为作为这个筹委会的代表，我发了这个代祷信。我提到呢，这个校园事工是什么？是千载难逢和稍纵即逝。
In my prayer letter as the organizer of this camp sent out to people, I describe it as our hard-won opportunity for gospel ministry.
中国的留学生的历史上从来没有这么多。
It's unprevalent that historically for so many Chinese student scholars are coming to the state at this time.
中国的留学时早期的留学都是基督徒。
In earlier time, the Chinese student who came to the United States, themselves were already Christians.
Yeah, 最不一定是美国，还有欧洲，对。
Went overseas.
那么他们都是教会把他们带出来留学，是要培养他们作为宣教士。
Yeah, they were sent out to Europe or North America by churches to train them to be pastors.
当时的这个中国人不要留学。
At that time, Chinese people did not like to go overseas.
因为呢，他们很反基督教。
Because they were really opposing Christianity.
所有只有一些什么假洋鬼子。
So there's only those, you know, foreign followers. They kind of interested in this.
所以这些基督徒呢，到西方留学。
So then they decided to go overseas to study.
但是今天的局面完全变了。
But today, the whole situation are dramatically different.
当时英国、德国、美国的教会多么希望中国人能够来这些地方来学习、来留学。
In those days that churches in Germany, in U.S. really wanted Chinese students to come to study.
但是呢，他们的这种反基督教的情绪，那是中国处于一种很封闭的状态。
But then there's a mindset in China in that time that people are really against Christianity.
但今天中国人自己付钱跑到这个欧洲，跑到美国留学。
But today Chinese families pay from their own pocket to sending their kids to come to state.To study.
今天是可以这么说，是在美国的教会在历史上从来没有迎来过这么好的机会做中国学生的工作。
So I have to emphasize one more time that for American churches, this is unprecedented that for welcoming so many Chinese students.
但是大家千万不要以为这个中国留学生是一直持续会这么高潮，可能永远的下去，这是不可能的。
But don't take it for granted for a continuing increase of Chinese students.
我们知道在之前，在98年之前，东南亚人来美国留学很多。
If we can remember that in late 90s, there are so many people from East Asia coming to the States to study.
有些人告诉我，我他碰到在亚洲碰到有些人，他们告诉我说，以前他们孩子来这美国读书，很多都是坐头等舱来。
You know, I ran into some Asian people. They told me that in those days, their children came to U.S. to study. They take really first class airplane.
但98年过后就急剧下降。
Then after really before the millennium, the number of students declined dramatically.
那就是所谓的这个亚洲金融风暴啊。
Because of the economic crisis in or storm in Asia.
但是常识告诉我们，无论这个日本还是别的什么国家，他们但年轻人在减少，这是个事实。
So as a common sense, we know that for any Asian country, for example, Japan.The young people population is still declining.
也就是现在所说的全球老龄化的问题。
This is really aging issue globally.
而中国将在15年内达到全球最大的老人化国家。
And China, it was said from research literature, China will be the largest country in the world for aging population in 15 years.
这将超过欧洲现在老龄化很严重的国家任何一个国家的时间的这个快速的速度。
Surpassing all European countries.
所以呢，这是一告诉我们呢，今天年轻人来这里留学，这是上帝赐给我们一个很好的做福音工作的机会。
So the message is that, you know, this is an opportunity given by God for bringing so many young students, Chinese students, to come to States to study.
回到我们教会的这个小的背景来讲，我们又是在一个大学城的教会。
Let me return to our own church. Our church is situated in a university town.
我们其实有很多的学生工作可以做的。
We have a lot campus ministry we can further expand.
甚至我可以这么说，如果你愿意，你跑到 Costco 去分单张，你都会看，你会发现很多很多人。
If, for example, you have this heart to go to Costco just to spread the brochure, you're going to see so many Chinese students there.
Yeah, 但是我要告诉大家的就是，至少我们要。很恳切的来为这个学生事工来
祷告。I really want to,
来祷告。
Yeah, I really want to repeat and emphasize that each every brother sisters pray for this camp.
这学生工作他的不只是个人信主得救而已这么简单。
This is the campus ministry is not about each individual's salvation.
这些受到最好训练的这些同学们。
The Chinese student who accept the faith here in the States.
他们成为基督徒以后
，After they became Christian，
他们的影响不仅仅是在他自己的个人或者家庭。
They cast impacts not only on themselves but extending to their families。
他们可能会分散在全世界各地工作。
They will go all parts of the world to work。
但是这就是会自然带动一个所谓全球宣教，中国人全球宣教的现象。
They will bring gospel with them to different places, then become a really global missionary.
我看到很多中国的人，中国基督徒，中国教会在强调全球宣教。
I noticed that many Chinese churches are emphasizing global ministry, global missionary.
在我看来，没有一条道路会比校园事工啊更重要，或者说更短。
In my personal view, there's no better shortcut for campus ministry than any other missionary or campus or ministry.
那而且我们看英国、美国教会的复兴的历史。
If we compare the history of church reviving in the British and the U.S., then we can find.
大多是跟校园的这些事工有关系。
It was always related to campus ministry.
你们知道，在这个英国的这个约翰这卫斯理
，John Wesley from UK.
他的还有一个叫这个怀特辉。
Whitefield.
George Field. George Field.
Whitefield.
Whitefield. 对吧？那然后他叫 George， 对，然后
George Whitefield.
他们在原来在牛津大学一个查经小组就是五六个人六七个人。
They used to have our fellowship, small fellowship group at Oxford University. It's only seven people.
他们不仅仅改变英国。
They actually really changed the whole nation.
而怀特辉来到美国带动了美国的复兴。
After Whitefield came to the United States, actually he kind of,be part of the initiation of the great
revival.
Because of that revival, the recent history of missionary is changed also.
大家听说过剑桥七杰吗？
Have you heard about 7-8 from Cambridge?
就是在剑桥七个非常出色的这个学生。
Seven outstanding students from Cambridge University.
我曾经做过他们的专门的这个研究报告，他们七个人后来全部到了中国。
I made a small study project on this seven elites from Cambridge. They all went to China for missionary.
而在美国的这个十九世纪的时候。
In 19th century in the United States,
就发生了大规模的这种校园复兴运动。
There's also a great revival in American campuses.
它直接跟美国成为全球第一啊宣教大国是很重要的联系。
So then that's the reason, U.S. became the largest, the number one country for sending missionaries.
有的时候你可能会觉得我讲东西总是很大。
Sometimes you may feel that I make pretty, I my talk focus on big issues.
但是我希望大家能够意识到。
But I want you come to understand that.
今天在这个 local, 在一个地方很发生很小的事情，它将来可能是引发一个全球很有影响力的事情。
The things happen, or maybe small things happen in a local place can be part of a great.Action.
所以的我也不这没有什么可夸的，我可以告诉你，我在来这个 Santa Barbara 之前啊，有一个机构邀请我去服事。
I just don't mean to brag, but I just want to share with you this story that before I came to Santa Barbara to minister this church, I got an invitation from an organization.
那个待遇比我们这里好得多。
They even gave me better benefit.
而且呢，这个给我居住的那个区的这个中学是全加州排名前五个之一，第一这之一啊。
Then the area that the organization is located has the one of the top you know ranked school.
就是 Palo Alto.
Palo Alto.
所以呢，这个当时那个机构的负责人跟我讲了好几次，他说你去 Santa Barbara 那干什么？
So the leader of the organization asked me several times, what's the reason you want to go to Santa Barbara?
他说那些最聪明、最有头脑的人都在我们这里。
She said that, or he said that a lot of smart people are actually in this region.
他们准备把我派到这个一半的多时间派到东部去。
They kind of described to me my potential duty.Was that to go to the East Coast for the ministry? Yeah.
我告诉大家，我没有这个，我是很看重啊这种受很好训练的人。
I want to make it clear that I pay respect to well-trained people.
但是我绝对不轻看啊那些没有啊念过很好学校的人。
But I've never looked down upon the people who do not have good education.
因为我很早以前有个搞教育的人告诉我，他说某些天才是不需要读书的。
Once, educator told me that the genius people sometimes do not need a formal education.
那个不用读书不是指这个 book， 而是不用 go to school。
Yes,
不用上学。
They don't depend upon regular schooling.
所以我们知道在任何一个地方都有可能带动很大的影响。
So in any place that the ministry you are involved can become a part of a great cause.
在中国服事的时候，在北京的时候，我们可以说就是跟中国那些所谓最好的头脑的人打交道。
When I was serving in Beijing, I really had an opportunity to interact with many high intellects.
上海人别介意啊。
People from Shanghai, I hope you don't mind what I just said.
那北京是文化中心是没有争议的。
Peking is the cultural center of of China. Probably is not disputable.
但是我也花很多时间到那些很落后，所谓很落后的地区去服事。
Then I have gone to many underdeveloped areas to serve as well.
我到一些少数民族，到一些地方，我到一个地方讲到。走路啊，步行走了来回，走了接近六个小时，就是为了讲一个小时的道。
Then I've been to places where really the minorities reside. I have to walk 6 hours seeks for return trip in order to make 1 hour sermon.
我告诉大家，我对那些听到的孩子，那些小学生、中学生，爱得不得了。
I really love those young children who came to my sermon.
他们身上的很多品质是大城市里边你看不到的。
You know, really, the characters of those young children from a rural area are quite different from the children in cities or urban area.
我为什么要花这么长来分享，来告诉大家这个校园事工？
Why I spend time on sharing the importance of campus ministry?
我至少在这个在南整个南加州来讲，我没有发现有很多人真正对校园有内心有那种火烧的那种热情。
Because it's my observation, I don't see many people are enthusiastic about campus ministry in Southern California area.
大家注意，不是没有，是很少。
There are very few people.
但是我们求上帝能够怜悯我们。
We ask for God's mercy.
这使我们能够注意的，我们弟兄姊妹能够为这个校园施工来很好的祷告。
So the brothers and sisters can pray.For the campus ministry,
我想在接下来的这一周里面啊，从今天开始到下个礼拜天，一直来为这个校园施工，每天为这个校园施工祷告，大家可以吗
？I really hope you pray starting from today every day for campus ministry until next Sunday. Can you do it?
我们可能这个人数也不是很多，那不会超过200人。
I know we don't have so many people in this congregation, probably less than 200 people.
但是我们谁知道啊，在这些里面啊，有神要用了什么人
？But we're not sure if God is going to use one of these participants, for great ministry in the future.
但是有一点很重要的就是我们的祷告是跟这些事工连在一起。
But most important thing is that our prayer will be. Connected to this ministry.
你只有在很恳切的祷告里面
It's only in your earnest prayer.
我们才能够很好的去发现上帝的工作
We can come to understand God's work.
也因为上帝悦纳我们这种心志而大大的赐福给我们
So, only when our prayers be pleasing to God, then he can bless our ministry.
我们一起来祷告
Let's pray together.
天父，我们感谢你。
Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you.
主，你自己呼召我们来与你同工。
Lord, we are called upon by you to be a co-worker of you.
不是因为我们的能力。
It's not just because our able.
不是因为我们有什么良善。
Not because we are kind.
而是因为你要让我们来更深的认识你。
But it is because that you have this desire to help us to come to understand you.
而是因为你要我们透过这些服事来经历你福音的更深的大能。
It's because through this ministry, you want us to learn to experience you for the power of gospel.
主，你在每一个时期，你对我们，你有赐给我们不同的一些的机会。
Lord, in each every generation, you have given us different opportunities.
你把一些不同的群体的人带到我们中间。
You bring people from different groups here together.
主，求你自己能够怜悯我们。
Lord, have mercy on us.
让我们对你的爱是把握时机。
So we really understand deeply your love.
让我们能够学习用我们敬拜。我们在内心的敬拜一样来与你同行
So we can learn how to walk with you through this worship
主求你自己能够看顾我们
Lord may you take care of us
我们为这个福音的营会来向你祷告
We want to pray for this campus ministry
主愿主你自己的复兴临到我们
May your revival come down upon us
你自己的圣灵临在我们中间
Your Holy Spirit come down upon us
主你使我们每一个你的儿女的心能够苏醒过来
So every children of you that whose hearts are opened up
愿主你自己福音的能力能够显明在这所有的慕道友的身上
May the power of your gospel manifest it, to each seeker
主求你赐福给每一个讲员
Bless each every speaker
使他们的口中有恩言
So they speak out the words coming from you.
主，求你自己赐福给每一个参加的人。
Lord, you bless each every participant.
无论是孩子还是大人。
No matter they are adults or children.
能够让我们能够在那个山上能够看见你自己的荣耀。
So when we all come to the mountain, we see your glory there together.
主，你将祈祷祷告的灵赐给我们每一个弟兄姊妹。
Lord, you give us the Holy Spirit for prayer.
让使我们每一个人能够知道每天能够来为这个事件来在你的面前恳切的祈求。
So we are eager to pray every day for this camp.
主，我们相信你在这个时代要做大事。
Lord, we have this faith on the fact that you are going to make great things in this generation.
虽然我们看起来有的时候是很卑微的事情，但在你的手中是截然不同。
So sometimes we are incapable, but with your mighty hand, things can be made.
主，让我们能够相信主你自己在圣经中的应许。
Lord, help us to have a faith on your promise made in the gospel.
让我们每一个人愿意能够忠心的来服事，来参与福音的工作。
So we can become a good servant of your ministry.
我们要为所有这些为营会服事的同工来祷告。
We want to pray for each every brother sisters who has been serving in the preparation of the camp.
愿主你自己纪念每一个人的劳苦。
May everyone is protected and blessed by you.
你赐福给每一个同工有美好的心灵和强健的体魄。
Bless each every co-worker who can be strengthened and have energy to do your work.
让我们能够在服事的里面充满你从天上而来的喜乐。
Through the ministry that we can have this joy from the heaven.
你赐给我们智慧。
Give us wisdom.
使我们能够在凡事上能够更好尽善尽美。
So we do things that is not blemish in your, under your standard.
主，求你自己保守看顾我们下面的时间。
May you protect and bless the falling time.
使教主你自己的话能够深深的能够栽种在我们的灵魂深处。
So that your words can be kept deep in your heart.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣基督的名。
We pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
我想今天我可以很快把第八和第九节讲完。
Today my goal is to finish up verses 8 and 9.
在第七到第九节呢，是关于上帝的话的一系列的这个排比句。
So from verses 7 to 8, we notice there are several parallel sentences.
我们把握这些排比句里面所大卫的这个大卫对上帝的话的这些形容。
So we need to come to understand how David trying to use these different metaphors to describe God's words.
和对这些律法的功用的这个表达。
And to understand the usefulness of God's the law of Lord.
对我们来了解圣经呢，是有很重大的意义。
It's really significant to our understanding of Bible.
所以第七节讲到上帝的律法是全备的。
So verse 7 it talks about the law of the Lord is perfect.
这是针对前面的这种所谓大自然的启示是不全备的，是不足够的。
It's really refer to the revelation from the nature which is not perfect.
所以而且呢，这个我们对于的这个宇宙的观察，对时空的观察
，it's only related to our observation to the heaven and the earth and universe.
他们没有办法叫我们的心能够苏醒。
Actually, our souls are not revived by doing those observations.
就是使我们的这个 KJV 翻译的意思，使我们的灵魂能够归向上帝。
Oh, yeah, according to KJV, our spirit go, you know, turn to Lord.
那是意思就是不能够使人悔改。
So in other words, it's really not about repentance.
不能够只是给我们足够的得救的智慧。
It's not really only about giving us wisdom for salvation.
但是上帝的道可以。
But the word of God is possible.
但第七节的第二部分说上帝的法度确定。
The second part of the verse 7 is the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy.
我们所说上帝的律法或者圣经，其实它的名字是约。
So when we talk about the law of the Lord or the Bible, it means holy covenant.
这个上帝的约是立定的。
So the covenant made by God is firm.
我们愿意，我们。 相信神的约，我们乐意去守约，就能够得着智慧。
When we believe, when we have faith on the covenant that made by God, then we will get the wisdom we need.
其实我们做基督徒，我们需要非常的单纯。
Sometimes, as a Christian, we need that kind of naiveness.
或者是说所谓被人形容看起来很笨的老实人的那种 simple mind.
Oh yeah, oh it's really simple mind. They look a little like a fool.
我们的人生价值观、人生抉择其实很简单，就是上帝说什么，我们听什么。
So our life decision seem to be simple. That means we do whatever God tells us to do.
而圣经告诉我们，这样就是有智慧的。
So the Bible informs us that this is the greater. Wisdom.
而那些想要寻求世俗的智慧，变得非常诡诈取巧，其实在圣经中，这种人是愚拙的，是愚蠢的。
For those who are seeking worldly wisdom, but they are actually a real fool, according to Bible.
但是注意，我们非常简朴，或者说我们非常天真。
One, we are simple-minded, or we are, to some degree, even naive.
那不是我们很笨。
That doesn't mean we are really foolish.
而是这是我们一个信心的抉择。This
is a decision made by us by faith.
不是我们不懂那世俗的那些人的那一套。It
does not mean that we do not understand or even know worldly wisdom.
而是我们看透了。It's
because we really see through what it is.
我们就去放弃。 我们去弃绝那些世俗的价值观。
We have chosen to abandon worldly wisdom and their world view.
而是选择委身与上帝的约。
We have chosen to be committed to God's covenant.
这就是智慧。
This is the true wisdom.
而第八节说，耶和华的训词正直，能快活人的心。
Then comes verse 8. It says, the precepts of the Lord are right, give joy to the heart.
这个训词呢，其实就是讲的是规则或者章程。The
precepts really mean like rules and regulations.
意思是上帝所立的章程是什么？是公正的。So
the regulations made by God are righteous.
我们这个一个立法，立一条法规，我们最害怕的就是不公正。Well,
in the regular world, that making a law, what we really concerned about is we have not made it just.
我们知道世界上的这个法律都需要修订，都要修正。So
there's often amendment regarding laws be made.
比如说这个美国被认为是最经典的宪法之一，美国宪法。
So the American laws is really viewed as the most classic law system.
但美国的宪法也需要有修正案。But
American's constitution has been amended several times.
因为呢，它里面有一些漏洞或者是不足的地方。If
there's any loopholes being found, then it need to be amended.
比如说这个林肯所发动的这个修正。
So, for example, the amendment made by President Lincoln.
是因为他看到这个法律里面没有黑人的权利。He
made amendment because he observed that the black people did not have the right as the white.
他们的人权，对他们这个法律对他们是一种不公正的。So
the human rights of African American was not protected. In the old constitution,
我这个林肯这个电影，是那个史蒂文伯格拍的那个史蒂文伯格，Lincoln made by Steven Spielberg。对他拍的这个电影里面，有一些中国人看的这个哭的稀里哗啦。So
I heard that many Chinese really burst into tears as they were watching this movie.
当我看到那个在国会通过的时候的那一刻，我真是感动得不得了。Why
I were watching the specific scene where the Congress passed the amendment of the Constitution.
一个不公正的法则终于被艰难地修改过来。
Our unjust rule was corrected.
但是上帝的所立的章程是什么呢？是正直的。
But the regulation rule made by God are always righteous.
是可靠的。
It's trustworthy.
是在其中我们可以看到我们每一个人那在神的律法，在神的律法里面，他向我们的向给他给我们的那种尊荣。
So everybody gets the dignity, in the statutes made by God.
大家知道这个林肯之所以修改的那一个所谓的那个修正案，通过那个之所以利益要修正，就是因为他相信所有人被造是平等的。
The most important reason for President Lincoln.To make that amendment is that he has this faith that everyone is created equal.
而今天啊，很多的这个女权主义认为圣经啊没有女权，没有女权。
Today, many feminists that believe the human rights of women are not addressed in Bible.
但是我们要知道呢，这种批评是不公正的。
I have to say that this criticism is not appropriate either.
对比古代的文献
as compared to the ancient literature,
而圣经对于这个女性的地位可以说是一枝独秀的。
The women's statue described in Bible is very unique.
这里面我要这里面有一点小复杂，但是我要说两点。
This probably is still a complicated issue.But I'm going to make two points.
第一是圣经展现了在古代那个女人完全没有地位的社会里面，圣经从某种角度肯定了这个女性的尊严。
So, in the ancient time, one, the culture, norm is that, women have very, very low status, but, Bible really affirms that the dignity of women.
就是说他可能不能够满足今天啊这个女性主义者的要求。
Well, probably Bible has tried to protect about women's right does not match the standard of today's feminists.
但是圣经的利益是圣经已经有那个很重要的思想，就是去肯定啊妇女的权利。
But there's this intent and idea manifested in the Bible to try to protect.The human rights of women.
可能不能够要权利地位更好。就是妇女的地位。
The position, yeah.
我举一个类比的例子。
Let me give you another example.
在新约的里面呢，有一些基督徒是奴隶。
In the New Testament, there are Christians who are slaves.
但是呢，这些奴隶信主以后呢，那或者说从某种角度，保罗他没有去推动一个废除奴隶制的运动。
So, in other words, people are puzzling why Paul has not promote a movement to be against the slavery.
但是呢，他对这种奴隶的这种肯定。
But then Paul, in his teaching, affirmed the status and the right of slaves.
要教导那些奴隶主要去尊重奴隶是的作为一个尊贵的上帝的儿女的这种地位。
So he, in his teaching, he warned those landlords or the masters how pay respect to slaves.
可能圣经对于这个奴隶制的推翻呢，不能满足现代要求。
Again, the idea that exists in Bible does not necessarily in perfect matchment with the idea of abolishment.Of slavery.
但是圣经对奴隶的这种肯定，那在古代的文献中那也是一枝独秀的。
But if you look at all other classic literature, only Bible really give affirmation on the status and the rights of slaves.
可以说是远远的超过那些著作。
It's really go beyond all other classic literature.
你们知道希腊哲学家亚里士多德就是一个主张奴隶制的很重要的代表人物。
We know an example that a great philosopher scholar Aristotle from Greece is really a supporter of slavery.
而圣经竟然保罗说你叫奴隶主对奴隶说你要称他为兄弟。
So, but Paul really told the master and landlords that you need to treat slaves as your brothers.
而更加的不得了的是什么呢？是腓利门这个奴隶。
It's even more important that slave Philippian.
他后来信主以后，他竟然成为教会的主教啊！根据第二世纪的传统。
After he became a Christian, he later became the bishop.
所以这是一个了不得的一个事件。
So this is a really important, significant event occurred in history.
一个奴隶
，a slave.
他怎么可能成为一个教会的这个 leader？
How a slave can become a church leader？
你们能想想吗？一个奴隶在教导下面做的都是奴隶主，你想想那是什么情形
？So you imagine the scene that where that the slave is preaching to all of the slave masters or landlords。
所以教会对这个奴隶的问题在当时就是一种颠覆。
So this is really revolutionary events in that historic moment about slaves.
今天很多基督徒说我们不要参与政治。
Today many Christians believe we better stay far away from politics.
不要参加社会运动。
Do not get into social movements.
我要告诉大家，不是我们不要参与政治，不要参与社会运动，而是要应该怎么样去参与社会运动。
So I have to tell you, it's not about not participating, it's more about how to participate.
上一世纪有一本书非常非常的出名，叫《耶稣政治》。
There's a very famous book published last century called The Politics of Jesus.
他就讲到耶稣是很热衷政治的。
So it talks about that Jesus was kind of interested in politics.
但是呢，耶稣所理解的政治跟一般人的政治是不一样的。
But Jesus' understanding or concept of politics is different from others.
他不是按照一般世俗国度的原则来参与政治。
He's not participated in politics according to worldly system.
而他带进的是天国的政治。
He has brought in the political system from the kingdom of God.
那所以这是一种颠覆。
This is a revolution.
那这本书在近三十年来是一个讨论的热点。
So this book has been heatedly debated in the last three decades.
所以圣经里面告诉我们是怎么样，这个对妇女或者对奴隶的这种尊严的肯定。
So what has been really stated in scripture is this affirmation on the rights and status of women.And slaves.
让我们知道啊，圣经是远超过许多古代的这个著作。
So we can come to understand that as a book, Bible, it's greatly surpassed all other ancient literature.
而上帝的这个什么这个训词是正直的。
And then the statutes of God, it's righteous.
那它不是一个政治宣传。
It's not about the political propaganda.
而且呢也没有里面没有什么弯弯曲曲的地方。
It's really not something, it's very straight.
所以这个翻译为正直的，就是英文翻译为 right, 就是意思就是直的。这神的话语是直的。
So the precepts of the Lord are right, mean direct.
意思是没有上帝不会什么不会隐藏的一些什么故意让人家去猜谜。
It doesn't mean it means he has not hidden something, so people will have to guess on what it is.
我们知道我们听这个什么国家元首讲话是很辛苦的。
So sometimes we know we have a hard time to listen to a speech by the national political leader.
那为什么呢
？Why?
因为他们那个话太复杂，隐藏了太多的信息。
Because,
所以你要分析来分析去，分析来分析去。
Because they tend to speak in a very sophisticated language, which with a lot of hidden meanings in there.
他那些话的语言都是符号。
So the language they have chosen seem to be like signs.
所以你只要你以为他讲的怎么样就是怎么样，你肯定是不懂政治的。
So if you kind of take their words as what they said, it really means you're so naive to politics.
你要干什么？你要去知道这些话的背后是有 code, 有那个码，有个那个密码在那里。
So you have to kind of really ask yourself, there what is hidden behind, like the hidden code.
所以你要去解码。
So you have to decode.
而很多人以为圣经啊，上帝给我们的圣经也像这样子。
So some people will use the same way.To understand the Bible, thought God is doing the same thing.
喜欢呢这个什么去猜谜。
So you will really make a guess on what God is trying to tell us.
还有所谓的这个什么圣经密码。
Or some people talks about Bible code.
或者有些人呢, 这个什么, 像中国的, 宗教, 装神弄鬼的, 什么, 天机不可泄露。
Or it's like a Chinese folk religions that they really emphasize on the secrets.
而上帝给我们的是明白的, 是正直的。
But God's words are right, are righteous.
所以加尔文和路德都认为, 只要受过适当教育, 基本都能够看得明白, 圣经到底要讲什么。
So both Calvin and Luther suggest that everyone who was basic education can come to understand God's words.
那为什么很多人读圣经不明白呢?
But why some people could not come to understand as they read the Bible?
第一,他可能不用心研究。
First of all, they do not study hard.
但第二个就是因为他故意不明白。
The secondly is maybe they just intended to not get a full understanding of it.
所以我但这个圣经上帝的法度是正直的。
So the precepts of the Lord are right.
能够叫人心能够怎么快活。
Oh, they kind of
give
joy to the heart.
就是这个动词就是讲到这个上帝的道能够使你快活。
It means the word of God can make joy to you.
什么意思呢?
What does it mean?
我们如果今天看到有很多人定下很多规矩, 我们怎么能够叫人快乐呢?
Today, when we see so many regulations are made, we typically are not happy about it.
我们会觉得很难受。
We usually feel really troubled by it.
我们今天最烦的就是到处都是规矩。
What we hate about is really you see regulations or rules everywhere.
我相信有的人来美国和在美国生活有个体会就是你填表格都填到你手软。
So I think probably a lot of you have experienced this when you come to the United States. You have experienced the thing that you have to fill out the forms and so many forms.
到处要你签字。
And you have to sign in many places.
然后那些什么一大堆那个什么agreement。
You have to really sign so many agreements.
然后呢,你要念,念也不是,不念也不是。
You feel hard to decide you want to read through it or you just don't want to read it at all.
所以中国人很不适应,我们比较好,叫什么,叫这个随机应变。
So we have hard time to adapt to this because we are used to the culture where we just take action or make decision as the situation comes.
我们最重要的是靠关系搞定。
So we really fix things through our networking.
在中国有一个说不用翻译，在中国有一个话叫说什么？叫他说你要是有关系你就没关系，你要没关系你就很有关系。
He said I don't need to translate it. But it really means if you have a good networking, you're fine. You have no problem. So if you don't, then you are in trouble.
对，所以呢，中国的这个词是很微妙的。
So this is a very delicate issue.
但上帝所立的规则能够叫我们的心里面快乐。
But the rule and regulations made by God can give us joy.
为什么?
Why is that?
上帝叫人什么六天工作，第七天要休息。 为什么还不快乐呢?
Because God tells us that you work 6 days, then you have 1 day for Sabbath.
这种不快乐的人大多都是地主。
So the people who are likely unhappy are landlords.
如果你是那个劳动的人，你就很高兴啊！为什么第七天终于可以休息了？
If you are the people who labor, you should be happy because you get one day and a week to rest.
但是今天很多人不能够享受安息日。But
today, many people do not enjoy Sabbath.
安息日变成一个重担。It
become a burden.
所以好像做礼拜是一种什么？是一种捆绑。Coming
to a Sunday worship became a burden.
所以美国有个很畅销的这个畅销书的作家叫做Philip Youngs.
So Philip Youngs is a very popular writer.
他写了一本书叫《为什么要上教会》。
He wrote a very popular book titled as Why Do You Need to Go to Church?
他的意思就是要面对很多人有这个想法。 就是信主就好了，干嘛要去教会？
He's really write this book for those people who have been thinking about, I'm a Christian, why do I have to go to church on Sunday?
如果真的要所谓什么去敬拜上帝，我们为什么不能够通过这个网络？
Why in the internet, you know, era, we just you know worship God through internet rather than go to church.
为什么大家要集在一起？
Why we have to come together in a physical building?
这没有，这是因为他不认同上帝的道。
Because this means if do you agree or recognize the words of God?
不委身于上帝的道。
You do not committed to the word of God.
对很多人来讲呢，神所立的这些章程
，For many people that the law and the statutes made by God，
他没有那种愁苦
，not really bringing hardship to，
而是一种快乐
，it's really a joy。
所以圣经里面讲到这个律法好像很难守，但是圣经里面就怎么说，爱就完全的律法。
So it seems like in Bible, sometimes for man it's hard to abide by laws. But what Scripture also suggests that the love can make the law perfect.
我们知道平常我们可能都不是很喜欢啊，总是跟人讲很多话。
Oftentimes we don't like to gossip a lot.
但是呢，啊，比方说，很好的朋友，你天天不停的讲，也很容易，很容易这个什么厌倦。
So even your best friend, if you know gossip, you know have gossip with him or her every day, he or she's get tired.
但是有些情况是例外的。
But sometimes there are things are exceptional.
就是两情相悦的谈恋爱，那真是叫什么？话讲不完。
The exceptional case is like four people falling in love. They feel that they can talk over.
你把那些东西保存起来，以后再看看，发现全是废话。
So if you happen to keep those a record of what they said, then you realize a lot of those are nonsense.
但是你在其中甜蜜无比。
But you felt so sweet about that process.
你有什么？你有快乐。
Because you feel joy about doing it.
所以我们知道这叫什么？叫爱就完全的律法。
So this is what love made the law perfect.
神给我们很多的规定。
So Lord, God has set many laws and regulations.
但你对上帝有那个爱的时候，你就能够快乐。
But if you love God, you feel joy about abiding those laws.
所以我们要思想我们的信仰生活为什么失去乐趣。
So we have to meditate a lot on why we have lost or joy in your Christian life.
那为什么我们的属灵追求失去激情？
Why we have really often lack enthusiasm for our spiritual life?
那是因为我们失去了爱。
Because we have lost our love.
所以圣经又说，上帝的命令清洁，能够明亮人的眼目。
So then comes next is it says the commands of the Lord are radiant, give light to the eyes.
意思是上帝的律法是纯洁的。
It means that the commands of the Lord are pure.
没有掺杂一些有害的东西。
It's not a blemish.
没有掺杂一些不合宜的东西。
It's not mixed with inappropriate stuff.
我们知道世界的很多经典著作里面都有很脏的内容。
We know that even for some very classic work in this world, it can include content obscene.
但是上帝的命令是清洁的。
But God's words are really pure.
圣经里面虽然有关于很多罪恶的谴责。
Even there are a lot of judgment or blame to the sin in the Bible.
很多人以为这个太过于负面。
People often take it in a negative way.
觉得这些东西太过于这个比较这个灰暗。
So people kind of always look in green light.
但正因为这样，它才是清洁的。
But just because this, you know, it's become a pure because judgment need to be made to those.
圣经里面那些最伟大的人物。
The greatest figures in the Bible.
圣经毫不留情的去描述他们的缺点。
There's a really no, they're really relentless description of their faults.
去指责他们的罪恶。
So they were criticized hardly by their sins and transgressions.
所以当你去勤读圣经的时候，圣经会给我们很不一样的眼光。
So you get a really different eyesight as you read through Bible.
我们平常都是从现象去观察一件事情。
Oftentimes we observe things more from phenomenological perspective.
能够从里面的本质出来看问题。
But Bible, you know, force you to look through things from the internal.
我们常常只能够从地上的这个眼光来看事情。
We see things, in a earthly perspective.
但圣经是从天上来的眼光来看事情。
But Bible help us to see things from a heavenly view.
所以所有的真基督徒应该要充满智慧。
So the true Christians should have the real wisdom.
因为你拥有上帝圣言的眼光。
Because you have the vision and the eyesight coming from God's words.
为什么基督徒常常没有这种属天的眼光？
Why sometimes Christians lack this heavenly eye?
是因为我们可能不去认真的去注重上帝的话。
It's because we do not pay attention to study God's words.
那下面一句话说什么呢？说道理是洁净的。
So what comes next is that the fear of the Lord is pure.
意思就是圣经是能够叫人敬畏啊，这个跟中文翻译差别很大。
It means that the Bible make people fear, which there's a big difference between English translation, Chinese translation.
在传道书里面
，in the actually Ecclesiastes,
这个作者论述了世上的一切以后，他告诉你说。
The author described what had happened in the world, then he came to say this.
他说就总意就是敬畏上帝。
He said, I can conclude the main thing is about to fear God.
圣经能够叫我们去敬畏上帝。
Bible teaches us to have a fear of God.
不会变得无法无天。
It's just not a rule breaker.
我们知道我们应该行所当职，就是我们应该走到什么地方为止。
We should know how we take action according to the biblical principle.
只有圣经教导我们去敬畏上帝。
According to Bible, we know how to fear God.
而圣经是怎么存到永远的
？And Bible or the Word of God will forever.
而圣经里面讲什么呢？约翰一书在二章十七节，这些经文大家应该会背才好。
Then there's a Bible verse coming from First John chapter 2:17.
世上和世上的一切都会过去。
The world and its desires pass away.
唯有遵行上帝的旨意必永远长存。
The man who does the will of God lives forever.
以赛亚先知说：“草会枯干，花会凋残，唯有我们上帝的话必永远立定。”
The prophet Isaiah once said that.The grasses wither and the flowers fall. Only the word of God will stand forever.
而接下来讲什么？讲耶和华的典章，真实、全然、公义。
Then comes next. It talks about the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous.
那意思就是上帝所赐给我们的这些约，他的律法书是真实可靠的。
So in other words, the covenant given by God is trustworthy.
他不会骗你。
It will not cheat you.
圣经里面讲到，你守着它就能够得到赏赐。
In the Bible, it talks about keeping. In keeping them, there is a great reward.
违背它，你就会受审判。
Disobeying it, you will be judged.
这就是赐给我们有得救的智慧。
This is the great wisdom of salvation given by God.
要使我们能够去守上帝的典章。
So we can keep.The ordinances of God.
我讲一个事情就结束了。
I will share a story then to conclude my today's preaching.
在我读过一个非常震撼人的家谱。
家谱。Genealogy that I once read, which really touched me.
是讲到美国的两个人的后代。
It talks about the offsprings of two Americans.
一个呢就是很著名的牧师爱德华兹。
One is about Pastor Edward.
另外呢一个呢我不记得他的名字的。我下次尽量把那个字我想如果有兴趣我可以打印那个。
The other person I don't remember his name.
那这两个当但这个人当时就是很恶毒的反对爱德华兹，就咒诅他或者是怎么样都是这样。
The writer really has this intent to curse Edwards for writing this book.
结果呢，他们调查了两百多年以后呢，这两个人的后代。
So then they made this investment on all offsprings of these two families.
爱德华兹这一边呢，出过七十多个教授。三个副总统，还有无数的医生啊，都是很有成就、很体面的这个人。
From Edward family, actually in 200 years, they've found the offspring of this family. Among them, 70 some of them are professors. Three were vice president of the United States, and many doctors.
而呢，这个家族总共有200多个人，都是很出名的。
And then from this family.More than 200 people become very well-known people.
另外一个人的后代呢
？And then from another family.
都是小偷妓女，这是真的，不是，这是调查的结果，不是人编出来的。
This is really not a make-up story. This is a true. And then from the other family, the offsprings, most of them have become thefts or other criminals.
一个就是老老实实去遵循上帝的道。
One family is really an example of abiding by God's law.
另外一个呢，就是非常诡诈。
The other family really, you know, has been good at, you know, cheating others, very cunning.
亵渎上帝，咒骂教会，反对牧师。
Cursing Bible, church, and pastors.
但是他出的那些人啊，都是很糟糕的。
And then look at you know, the offspring of that family in 200 years. Really, they have not produced any people with high impact.
这告诉我们什么
？What does this story tell us?
上帝的话是真实的。
The word of God is trustworthy.
你守着就有奖赏。
In keeping them, there is a great reward.
你违背了，你就会遭殃。
Disobeying it, there will be a judgment.
这不是一个愿望而已。
This is not just a wishful thought.
这是严肃的。
This is a very serious matter.
所以圣经教导我们去敬畏上帝的 fear of the Lord.
So the Bible teaches us to fear the Lord.
那使我们能够懂得掌握真正的人生智慧。
So then we can really come to have a real wisdom of life.
愿神能够赐福给我们。
May God bless.
让我们能够去热爱、看重。去学习研究他的话
So we can love and put time in studying his words.